How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Jesse Nyberg podcast. So as you can see today, once again, busting it out solo. So this is going to be my third episode, I believe, doing solo. And I was actually very both grateful and excited that the second solo episode actually did fairly well, even in relation to some of the guest episodes that I thought would perform pretty good. So now I know I kind of have that validation that I can do these every once in a while, and also had someone cancel on me again, so kind of had to do it solo this time. And so sometimes I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about in these, because there's no guest to kind of riff off of and whatnot, so it's a little bit different. So I wrote down a few topics and also some stuff that I asked on Instagram. Speaking of that, first topic is Instagram dead. So a lot of people have been concerned over Instagram, including myself. I try not to get too wrapped up in this whole algorithm chasing the dragon type stuff that social media creates. However, I'm not perfect, just like everyone else, and it's easy to say just don't care about it, and it's harder though to actually follow that. So, you know, as a normal person that just uses this app, it doesn't really matter if the algorithm's changing or if you're not getting showed to the audience, because you're just there to post pictures, have fun, and maybe consume other people's content. However, if you're like me and you're a designer or content creator, it's part of your business. So it definitely is frustrating to see the changes and things. However, I think my approach to it is I'm just going to keep doing me, and for the most part, just diversify. Like, I'm kind of accepted the fact that Instagram, I don't think, is going to be the best app for creatives anymore. Been pursuing a lot more Twitter, been having fun over there, going to do more with the Patreon, newsletter, all that stuff. And I think that the newsletter specifically is a good segue into something else I wanted to talk about. The idea of, you know, owning an audience, right? YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all this stuff's cool and I really like it, and it's helped me grow and it helps you with getting recommended and whatnot. But at the end of the day, any of these companies, Zuckerberg, whoever runs the other apps, they can just shut down your account, you know, or they can take you off these platforms, and then you pretty much are screwed. You don't own your audience, for lack of a better word. And I spoke about this before, and ever since I kind of got into that whole 1,000 true fans concept, I've been trying to build that out. And so I've been building out the newsletter that will be linked in the description. You can sign up for that. I call it Glue's Letter. And I think that is an invaluable resource to gain an email list. All the really good YouTubers and artists and content creators I know that have built successful email lists, they can kind of take their audience wherever they go. They can pop into new apps and whatnot and instantly have a little boost there, because they have this list of people that volunteer to hear them without any platform, going straight to the email. And they obviously like what they're doing. So that's really cool. And I have like a few hundred people on there now, and it feels a lot more fun, intimate. We don't have to optimize anything for likes or video time and whatnot. For that same reason, I kind of encourage everyone to create some kind of newsletter, email list, whatever. As long as you have something to say and there's some kind of, you know, topic you can come up with there, I highly recommend it. So I also, if you want another newsletter besides mine to check out, Harry Vincent, that's really cool. I'll link that in the description as well. His newsletter is amazing. A little bit different than mine, a little more personal, a little more. It's just very him, you know. We're different people, but the way he writes things, it's really cool. And I've been liking it. And it's kind of like a nice vulnerable approach to like design and newsletters and like kind of just being an artist. And then I also want to do more solo podcast like this, but I think I am a little spread too thin. I mentioned this in a post recently. However, I think it'd be cool to do these on the Patreon. So if that's something you're interested in, maybe we can do a weekly or bi-weekly solo podcast on the Patreon. My goal though is I want to get maybe at least 100 patrons before I start that. That will make it so I can free up some more time from freelance work and stuff to actually put time into that. Right now, I don't have a lot of time to be doing that every week, but we can get to 100 patrons, that'll help fund that, and that'll be cool, and that'll also help just fund other stuff for the channel and whatnot. So description below, I'll have that stuff linked, Patreon, newsletter, everything. I also wanted to talk about something else about pricing. So client pricing and pricing design work is always something that is a hard concept to grasp and even harder to figure out how to price actually. You know, everyone's different. There's branding, album art, posters, all those things come with different guidelines, different pricing, hourly, fixed rate, whatever. And I've always had some trouble, but I felt pretty confident compared to some other people in how I price my work. However, I do remember that it can be super intimidating when you're first starting out. And I think as designers, we tend to undercharge all the time. And I think it's because we're unaware of what other people are charging. The client is kind of dictating the narrative about what things should cost. So they're offering you this low price and they're having it under the impression of, you know, this is the normal price. And then you're maybe feeling insecure that you're charging too much. You don't want to give up, you know, a project because you overcharged. But if the price is an issue, it's probably already going to be a project that is going to not be very fulfilling for you and also become more frustrating down the line. So I'm bringing this up because a friend of mine and fellow designer, Emma Burrs, her name's Burrs Letters on Instagram. Check out her work. Very cool. She started a Excel, like Google sheet, and it's an invaluable research. I'll probably throw up a little screenshot of it, screen grab of it right here if you're watching the video version, but I'll link it in the description as well. Basically, it's open for anyone to submit, and it's all these designers from all walks of life and all levels of experience basically submitting, you know, how much they charge for logos, any general advice they have, how much they charge for branding, album art, poster design, animation, etc. And it's really cool to see because you can already see like, oh, these people are, and it's, you can either do it anonymous or have your name in there. It doesn't matter. I actually submitted myself and you see, oh, these people are charging a little way too low of an hourly rate. Oh, this is a good rate for branding. Oh, this is a bad rate. This is high. This is low. And for the most part, it's sad to see, but it seems like a lot of these talented designers are undercharging. And I think this resource is super important because you get to see what everyone else is charging and we can collectively raise the floor of the price and get paid what is well deserved. So I really recommend checking that out. And there's also different tabs for advice and things. And big shout out to Emma for putting it together. So go submit or go just check it out and look around, and you'll definitely learn some stuff and you'll probably get a lot more insight onto how you should price. Another thing that I've been kind of thinking about that's been coming up a lot more lately in both design communities and with musicians and a lot of other people that run these things, repost pages, which are their own kind of problem I have with them. But so design contests. I'm sure you've all seen these and maybe they're kind of innocent in nature. Basically, I'm a brand or a company or an artist and I want to create a contest to create an album art for me, merch design for my tour, graphics for my brand, whatever it may be. And I'm going to actually say submit, and all these designers that submit, they can either, you know, some of them at least offer a decent prize, you know, a couple thousand dollars for the graphic, or second and third place, $500, whatever it may be. But even that, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people submit to these contests, and all that work is basically spec work if you don't get chosen. Yeah, you can say, well, if you don't want to be a part of that, then just don't submit and don't enter the contest. And I do think there's some valid points there. However, it's kind of a fallacy because we just need to not have those in general. Like, that having those collectively lowers the value of design and it's like a predatory system. And even people like Adobe did them with the Billie Eilish thing. And I think companies that are supposed to be for creatives like that, it's pretty ridiculous that even those brands are running these contests. And yeah, you could just not submit, but if no one submitted, then they wouldn't keep running these contests. And then maybe the contest would be, I don't know, you hire a single designer, you pay them for the work, and then that's it. You know, it doesn't have to be a contest. Everything doesn't have to be, give me all the options I can choose from. Find an artist or a designer that you like and hire them and pay them for their work. No other businesses run this way. You know, you don't go to all these different bakeries and ask for different loaves of bread and just choose whichever one tasted the best and then throw the other ones away. I think that this kind of goes a little bit back to the pricing thing in that sheet that Emma put together. It's like, there's not enough collective knowledge around like these things and how we should interact in like business and as creatives. So I think a lot of stuff, predatory things like that happen. So I want everyone to just at least be aware. And yeah, if you're going to submit to those design contests or whatever, like, obviously I'm not going to stop you. And if you win, cool, you get some money. But at the very least, I hope that this will help you think about that stuff a little bit more and just be a little bit more conscious about those decisions you're making and treat yourself with more respect as both a creative designer, an artist, whatever endeavor you may be into. And another thing that kind of goes with the design contest stuff is these design repost pages. I've spoke about them before. There are some good ones. There are some bad ones, but to me, it's kind of like that bad apple thing. Like, there can only be so good in a collectively bad and kind of predatory thing. Like, I think it started off innocent. If you don't know, a design repost page, you know, on Instagram, reposting others' work, etc., giving them exposure and things. But what I've realized is these pages can make money off of the reels that they're reposting. They can use that, those stuff they're posting to misguide a potential client and give them the impression that maybe they created that work, and a bunch and other negative things that can kind of happen with these things. So I think that that format is also just played by now. It's kind of washed, like black background, reposting posters. How much more of them can we have? And how many more styles can we kind of investigate and pursue with those different niche pages? And I've even seen recently one of them running a contest of their own. And it's like, your ears to the ground. You're right in the streets with the other, with the community, with the designers, and you're still doing a contest when you know that, I don't know, but I digress, or as they say, however they say it. I just think that those pages don't need to exist anymore, you know. I made a tweet about this, 2022, no more design contests, no more repost pages, and no more spec work. I'm sure you know about spec work, you know. It's the idea of creating a design in on spec, in the idea that they may give you more work later, or they may use it, or there may be opportunities down the road. You can't pay for your rent with exposure or with empty promises. So make sure to get paid. And if you're going to do anything, have a contract, even if it's with your friends or whatever, you never know. Another thing that I get asked a lot is actually like, who are some of your inspirations, or who are some artists you like and things. And a lot of the people that I look up to and that I'm fans of, people are aware of, I think. And it doesn't really help that much to be like, this person, you know, like, because they already have enough exposure and whatnot. So when I got asked that question, I kind of thought, how can I help out some other people? So I just wanted to shout out five designers that I really like that are under 10K on Instagram. Obviously, Instagram isn't the mark of success, and these people are all super talented, probably even more than people that have more followers than them, but for whatever reason, under 10K, so I wanted to show them some love. The first one's a liner poster, super dope designer from LA. They do a lot of cool, like, kind of punk grunge graphics. They do a lot of awesome screen printing and risograph printing and stuff. Really cool hand painted signs as well. The next one's Archfiend Abel, a friend of mine, as well as an amazing 3D artist. Like, they've just been popping off. I really think you'll see a lot of them in the future. They are actually the ones I did the ICB print collaboration with, doing a lot of really cool stuff. The next one's Chaotic No Good. Lauren Bailey, also from Los Angeles, and she runs this other thing with a liner poster called Chaotic Motel. And their work is super cool. They have a similar style to liner poster to an extent, but a lot more like poster layouts and really cool typography and kind of like punk Xerox graphics as well, similar to also a designer I like, Foie Graphics. So check them out. Sam Thomas Design, really cool posters and layouts, and I really like their stuff. It's very contemporary and kind of experimental typography. I don't know how they only have like 2K. It's pretty surprising, and they do a lot of cool stuff in the music industry. Last one, Jake Depp or Pressure. If you're on Twitter, you probably know them. They have a huge following on Twitter. They are one of my biggest inspirations, and I've really liked them for a while. Their analog layouts are super cool. They do a lot of awesome textural stuff, typography based. Their work is very inspiring, and a lot of cool stuff in the esports world as well. So definitely check them out. So that's all for that, but kind of speaking to that issue, someone asked me something. How do you get known or something like that? And I don't know. I have a weird feeling and imposter syndrome around that kind of question and stuff. Cause yeah, I have a decent amount of following on here on YouTube and on Instagram and whatnot, but I don't really feel known. I have a lot of imposter syndrome, and I think there's a lot of toxicity about getting into design or art for the idea of fame or money. You know, I wouldn't say it's the easiest path to get famous or super lucrative. So I don't think you should be concerned with that. I think the biggest concern when you're starting out in design should be getting good. If you're good at something and you're passionate about it and you find a style and you really hone in and experiment on the things you like, the other stuff should follow. If you're super passionate and you really want to do something and you love design, I think the money and the being known or like any notoriety or whatever that comes with it will follow. And even if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. Tons of super successful designers that no one even knows who they are, and they work on way bigger projects than I ever have. They're just awesome industry designers, or they're creative directors in-house for places like Spotify, Apple, things like that. And so I think this whole era of influence and content creation and Instagram and the design, it's gave a lot of people opportunities. And I like that it's made stuff a lot less reliant on clients and made us a lot more blending the world of art and design and kind of erasing the lines between the two. However, I don't think we should want to be known or influencers and stuff. Like, there's cool stuff that can come with that, those type of things, I guess, but it shouldn't be the main priority and shouldn't be super concerned with that. So I guess that's my kind of answer to that question. Another person asked me something pretty interesting that I thought is similar to this. And it's, they asked, what holds me back? And I think something that holds me back from progressing is both imposter syndrome and this idea that I have to get something out of doing something, or what's the point of doing this thing? Like, I have a toxic kind of mentality sometimes where, first of all, I have imposter syndrome where I'm like, I don't even know if I should be working on this project, or like, oh, what if I'm, you know, charging too much or blah, blah, blah. And I think everyone I've talked to, from the most experienced to the least, all these different designers, most of them deal with that. And that's reassuring, but equally as frustrating, because that means it probably doesn't go away. And it's just a common thing that kind of collective consciousness we all think about. But the fear of the other one I said, like, what's the point of that? Is sometimes I get so like, I guess it's like the capitalistic, like toxic influence on my brain where it's like, oh, you want to go to this event, or do you want to do this endeavor or create this thing or do this thing or this hobby? And I'm always like, well, how can I maybe like monetize that or make money off that? Or how can I turn that into some kind of business? Or if I'm invited to something, I'm like, well, who's going to be there? Like, can I, who can I talk to? Like, can I chop it up about design with someone, art? And yeah, that stuff's cool. You should always be kind of looking to expand your businesses and looking to meet people and make connections. But I think it can easily, like for myself, become a bad thing where you're like so obsessed about that you don't even enjoy stuff sometimes. So I don't do this as much anymore, but I think in the past that kind of held me back, like thinking, you know, you want to go to this thing, and it's like, well, what's the point of going to that thing if I could, you know, network or do design or talk to these people? But like I was saying in my freelance video, all the best ideas and stuff, you got to live life. So going to that thing can just be going to that thing, go to that concert or go to that, you know, party or whatever. And a lot of times I meet those people like as a byproduct of that. So the act of deliberately not wanting to do that stuff actually turns out working out better by just hanging out with people and meeting cool people and doing things just for fun, you know. I guess that's one thing that holds me back is sometimes work. And I think, yeah, you got to kind of check yourself sometimes. You don't have to always be working, and everything doesn't have to be, you know, monetized, and everything stuff can just be for fun. It's good to just relax. Don't get sucked into working too much when you, as long as you're enjoying it, keep working, do what you got to do. But once it's, you stop, if you're stressed out or not enjoying something, like take a break. It's okay to, the world's still going to be there when you come back, and you'll probably have a fresh set of eyes and better ideas later anyway. Kind of tangent, kind of, I don't know if I fully answered that kind of question, but I guess that's what this is for. It's a little bit of a kind of rant session. So another thing I wanted to talk about is, so this isn't necessarily design, but someone asked me like desired travel, where would you want to go? And it got me thinking. So I've always really wanted to go to Germany as well as Japan. And Germany, because it's always looked super cool to me. I'd love to go to like Oktoberfest and stuff like that. I really like a lot of the cool like cultural elements of Germany. And I have a German, DNA or whatever you want to call it. And so I thought that'd be cool to kind of explore that. Love beer, that I know is kind of the mecca for that, you know. And sorry, super fast car just went by. So yeah, like that would be cool. And I think it looks beautiful there as well. And there's a lot of diversity in Berlin. I really want to go to Berlin. The whole rave scene there and the club scene looks super cool. A lot of fun parties and kind of the, seems like mecca of like electronic music outside of some of the places in US, like Detroit and Chicago and stuff. and then Japan, because honestly, I guess I'm just kind of a weeb in that way. Like I love so much stuff about Japan, like the just mostly like, I guess, consumerism things. But I also love a lot of the history. I love a lot of the Japanese traditional art. That's why I have some traditional Japanese tattoos. I love the kind of significance and importance they ingrain in so many things. And there's a lot of nice tradition and very connected to its roots and past, and I really like that. And then the other side, I really like anime. I like gunpla, building gunpla. I like all the way they do things with like tech. Everything is just very fun and like bigger, and it just seems somewhere I'd spend a lot of money is probably the only bad thing. I want to buy a lot of cool collectibles and stuff. But and sushi is also my favorite dish, so I would love to have some like omakase at a really nice sushi Michelin restaurant. So those two places, Germany and Japan, I really want to go to. I'll probably cut this a little shorter. I don't want to do a whole hour long podcast solo. Gets a little draining, but one of the things I wanted to leave you with, and it's something that I've been practicing more, is doing stuff with your hands. So I was inspired kind of by Van Neistat. It's Casey Neistat's brother. He has a YouTube channel. He has this whole idea of the spirited man and doing stuff yourself and creating things. And it got me really inspired. And even doing analog collage stuff more has felt really good. And I realized like we're at these computers all day staring at screens, and it gets really easy to get kind of in the box and stuck and feel like you're not doing anything. Like I remember when I had Kludge on the podcast, he said, I try to think what my dog would think I did all day. And the dog sitting there would think, oh, he just stared at that box of light all day. So it's true. Like sometimes you do all these things on digital, and yeah, you maybe made all this progress on a project, but you don't have anything tangible and haptic to show for it. So I've been trying this practice of trying to do something with my hands at least every day, or just build something or create something, whether it be doing more analog collage stuff, kind of scrapping new materials, printing stuff out, doing analog textural stuff in my work. And it doesn't even have to be just work, you know, or just design or just art. I've been I built and set up this, sorry, not built, not quite there yet, but I set up this filing cabinet and organized a bunch of my old work and just stuff I printed and documents. And that just felt good. Like after an hour of organizing all that stuff or a few hours, it felt like you feel accomplished. You have something to actually look at. Recently, my light went out, my front headlight went out in my car. So I had to order a new set of headlight bulbs, and just going down there, watching a YouTube tutorial, fixing that up, stuff like that. Like it felt, that stuff feels very rewarding because there's a tangible thing that's finished. So I think it can be small too. Just the other day, I just organized one of the little cabinets in our living room, removed all the medicine around and the tools and the junk drawer and whatnot. And just things like that, you know, we get so, that has been going hand in hand with my idea of trying to go on walks every day. Those two things grounding me back into a more what humans do, you know, create and build and walk around and go outside. COVID got me trapped in this cycle of like everything being digital. So doing those things has been super helpful and I recommend it. And just find some other cool little hobbies that are tangible and, you know, with your little fingers and pursue them. Thank you for everyone who listens to the podcast. It's really cool. I appreciate all of you. If you want to hear more bonus stuff I've uploaded or support in any way, check out the Patreon. I'll link that below. I really appreciate all your support and shout out to all the existing Patreons. Much love to all of you. Can't do it without you and I really appreciate it. If you want more stuff sent to your inbox, check out the newsletter. And then everything else linked below, prints and all that. And like I said, Patreon goal, once we get 100, probably do more of these just for you guys, for the supporters and whatnot. But for now, throw up these every once in a while on YouTube. And I got a fun guest up for the next episode. So excited for that. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace out.